football on off the ball.
We see so much about clubs now expecting not managers but head coaches. You know, Ruben Amorim and Enzo Maresca, maybe the first people ever sacked in English football for their lack of corporate synergy. Whereas City have been very different. City have been kind of a concierge service for Guardiola, so I can imagine that can be a hard thing to give up.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets.
Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Good evening, you're welcome along to Wednesday Nights Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you till 10 o'clock tonight. Coming up, we'll be speaking to Brian O'Driscoll from 7:30 to reflect on the 2026 Six Nations. We're going to be talking NBA between 8 and 9 at around 8:30 or thereabouts. John Gonzalez is going to hop on the line to talk about Bam Adebayo's second record point scoring game. Didn't quite get Will Chamberlain's 100 points, but broke the 80 mark last week. And we'll be talking to John Gonzalez a little bit about that, about the picture in the league right now, which suggests that a lot of teams want the first pick in the draft next year or are just tanking because they're not going to make the playoffs. So plenty to talk about when it comes to the NBA. We're going to be focusing on AFCON on the football show. Fentuo Tahiri is going to talk about Senegal having their AFCON title stripped. Richie Towell will be with us for that full hour as well, keeping an eye on all the Champions League action as it happens. Our number is 0879 180 180 if you want to send us a WhatsApp message. Daniel Pitcher is on Newsround duty. Evening, Daniel.
Evening, how are we?
All good. And Arthur O'Dea is here as well. How are you doing, Arthur?
Flying, how are you?
All good. So we're watching the early game tonight in the Champions League, which has been a cracker so far, although it does come with the caveat that Barcelona might now just stretch the legs a small bit. They've just gone two goals clear of Newcastle United. It is 4-2 and we're into the 54th minute. Fermín López has just put Barcelona 4-2 up on the night. Remember, the first leg was a 1-1 draw at St James's Park last week, and they'd gone tit for tat throughout the first half. Barcelona went 1-0 up, Newcastle equalised, Barcelona went 2-1 up, Newcastle equalised, and then right before the break, Kieran Trippier pulled back. A Barcelona player was lucky not to get sent off for it, because Rafinha, he probably would have put the ball in the back of the net if he wasn't pulled back, but it was given as a penalty. Lamine Yamal puts the ball beyond Aaron Ramsdale, who almost got to it from the penalty spot, and they went into the break 3-2, and they have now doubled that lead within a few minutes of the restart. But it's been properly end-to-end. Newcastle, an exceptional counter-attacking team. Barcelona have given them plenty of opportunities to counter-attack. That high line is insane, and it's made for some great football. Anthony Elanga has scored both of Newcastle's goals, and he's been electric in that first half. But this Newcastle team, very, very good at football, and that Fermín López goal just a moment ago was sensational.
They've certainly given a good account of themselves, Newcastle. I mean, the note that I had sort of left myself coming in here was, are Newcastle's going to be singing a tune? They kind of had been. And like, if not for, look, there was a controversial VAR decision towards the end of the first half for Lamine Yamal's penalty. Kieran Trippier, did he pull Rafinha? I mean, it looked very soft to me. The referee had gone over to the screen to have a look.
Once he gives the decision, it's hard to see how he doesn't send him off.
Absolutely, because then you make the argument that he hasn't attempted to play the ball either.
Yeah, he was then hooked at half time by Eddie Howe, and Dino Livramento replaced him. Now Sandro Tonali's gone down injured for Newcastle, so a really steep hill for them to climb at this point. Interestingly, I hadn't expected this, given Robert Lewandowski is on the pitch, but at little over 22 years of age, this is the youngest starting Barcelona team in the history of knockout competition in the Champions League. And Robert Lewandowski has just put them three goals clear from a corner. He's wearing the face mask. He takes off the face mask in celebration. Does he get booked for that? That is the question for Robert Lewandowski. But he had significantly brought up the average age. And the point I was going to make is that you can kind of see the exuberance of this youthful Barcelona team sometimes in how they play. They're fairly carefree, and maybe there's an opportunity for teams to get at them, as Newcastle have done in this first half. But in attack, they are just so, so good. And Barcelona's number nine has put them 5-2 up after 56 minutes. So 6-3 on aggregate.
They're on Arsenal's side, aren't they?
On the semi, it would be Arsenal Barcelona semi-final if they both win their quarter-finals. Yes.
Okay. That'd be mouth-watering.
You would think so. Barcelona, of course, would feel that they should have been in that Champions League final last year after that epic, all-time epic with Inter Milan. Yeah. And, I mean, you can get easily carried away with that first half against Newcastle. I wonder, are they potentially not as good as they were last year, but you suspect they possibly are. Lewandowski has not been good in this game so far, so for him to score there, it kind of just shows the measure of the man. He can kind of pop up out of anywhere and get you a goal. So it's from a set piece, gets up above Tino Livramento, heads to the side netting, and he holds his face mask up as he puts it back on his head. So Barcelona, you'd imagine, home and hosed. What else have we got going on this evening in terms of Champions League action then, Daniel?
Yeah, well, what a game to open us up this evening. There are other games kicking off at 8 o'clock. Newcastle face a huge night at Anfield as they look to overturn a 1-0 first leg deficit against Galatasaray. Arne Slot's side, well, I suppose, you know, inconsistent recent form, injury setbacks. He'll be relying on a pretty strong crowd tonight. Alexander Isak, of course, Conor Bradley already out. Joe Gomez was 50-50 coming into this evening. The Reds defender Andy Robertson, though, has backed his side to flip the tie around in advance, but has also challenged senior players to call on past experience in Europe.
You know, I think the one that comes to mind is obviously Barcelona. Now, we were 3-0 down that day and nobody gave us a chance. I think, you know, a lot of people still give us a chance in this tie. So, yeah, of course, you have to rely on your experience. You have to rely on lads that have, you know, have been in this position before, because that's what's going to help us, you know. And then you obviously have the young lads and things like that that maybe haven't experienced it, to bring that fresh energy and that no fear, and that's when you get, you know, the right balance within the squad. So tomorrow night's important that we show up the best version of ourselves, and if we do that as a team, then I believe we've got enough quality within our change room to win the game of football, and that's all we can focus on.
And Andy Robertson starts on the bench. It's Milos Kerkez at left back alongside Virgil van Dijk, Ibrahima Konate and Jeremy Frimpong in front of Alisson. Then it's Gravenberch, McAllister and Szoboszlai in midfield, Salah on the right, Wirtz on the left and Hugo Ekitike leading the line. Obviously Osimhen leading the line for Galatasaray tonight. They were pretty good last week, you'd have to say, at home. I'm not quite sure how we're feeling about this. Like, my instinct when we were watching this in studio last Tuesday evening was that Liverpool are going to get the job done in Anfield. Mm. But I think it was Owen Doyle who was in with us last week. Was like, not quite sure you can say anything for sure with this Liverpool team at the moment.
Not at all. You would have thought the same. I was adamant on Sunday. It was like, oh, this will be a matter of how much, how many, against Spurs.
Mm.
Somehow just couldn't string it together. But I'm with you still. I feel a little bit like it was with Arsenal Leverkusen last night, that it's kind of like, there's kind of a bit of a gulf. Probably.
It's been a hard one to tell, because they've almost been a different side in the Champions League. Okay, fine, they lost the first leg, but like their form in Europe this season has been significantly better than the league. Mm.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised. It would be a big shock all the same if they didn't win out tonight, whatever way you kind of cut it. Like, it would. So I think it would require that. And I remember I was watching at least some of their second leg, Galatasaray second leg against Juventus in the last round, in the round of 32 or whatever it was, where they had held a very comfortable lead after the first leg there, and then got back, it went into extra time, and had Juventus not a man sent off, like, there was a 3-goal lead overturned, I think. So, I mean, Galatasaray has some form maybe for letting it slip away.
On Tottenham then, and I know you'll get to your clip in just a moment, Daniel.
Mm.
No Dominic Solanke and no Richarlison in their squad tonight. I mean, are they looking to Nottingham Forest now? I don't know. There might have been late injuries that have been picked up. I'll go through the Tottenham team here. So it's Vicario who starts in goal in this Champions League fixture. Kinski's on the bench. And then it's Romero, Dragosin, Mickey van de Ven, Pedro Porro, Jed Spence is the wing backs, Archie Gray, Pap Sarr, they start. And then the attackers are Javi Simons, Randall Colomwani and Matthijs Tel. So yeah, no Richarlison, no Solanke, even on the bench tonight for Tottenham Hotspur. So I presume Igor Tudor will speak to a TNT or some broadcaster in the next couple of minutes to tell us why that is. Barcelona, 6-2 in front. What? The man in the mask scores again. Robert Lewandowski, and he kind of, this time, wow, his mask-related celebration is pushing him up from the bridge of his nose to the top of his head. He doesn't take it fully off the head. So who knows what he'll do for his hat-trick, which seems inevitable at this point. Oh, the English teams are getting hammered 7-3 on aggregate at this point.
Seemed okay 15 minutes ago.
Yeah.
It's, and it's such a great game as well. Now, like, it still is, but this is just turning into a rout now at the minute.
Absolutely. There's still another half an hour to go. Anyway, bring us up to speed on Tottenham.
Yeah, unlikely mountain for them to climb also. They've only managed a single Premier League point, let's not forget, as well, under Igor Tudor. They're 5-2 down with Atletico Madrid visiting North London. The Tottenham boss hopes his side can draw on their recent performance against Liverpool.
It's important when you make one good performance like we did, is give courage to everyone to start to change the things. I like to say honest with the things you can give in the pitch, and then the football will give you back. So this happened, and now we need to continue on that.
Elsewhere, Bayern Munich have as well a big 6-1 cushion as they play host to Atalanta.
Now then, we have some friendly news for future Republic of Ireland fixtures.
Yeah, they'll take on Granada in an international friendly in Spain on May 16th, marking the first ever meeting between the two nations. The match, which will kick off at 5pm, forms part of a warm-up training camp for Heimir Hallgrímsson's squad. Ireland will travel to Spain on May 7th. The camp designed to maintain their fitness. It'll also provide opportunities for fringe players. But the fixture, part of Ireland's longer-term planning as they look ahead to the potential FIFA World Cup campaign as well. So we obviously have to wait, of course, those two games coming up, potential two games at least. Supporters will be able to attend this game in Spain. Ticket details will be confirmed in due course.
Quick piece of half-assed research. There have been three footballers from Grenada who have played in the Premier League. Can you name them? 0879 180 180, oh, is our number if you want to get in touch.
What
no
year,
cheating.
What year are we talking?
We're talking one who played between 2021 and 2024. We're talking one who played between 2002 and 2004. And we're talking one who played between 2002 and 2004 and between 2005 and 2013.
Right.
Wow.
What we'll do
got
is...
Got me with that one.
We'll take a quick break and you can get your thinking caps on. As I say, 0879 180 180 if you want to get in touch. The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage, 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation. We've got loads more still to come on tonight's news round after the break.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
You're welcome back. 67 minutes on the clock. It's Barcelona 6, Newcastle 2, 7-3 to Barca on aggregate. Any thoughts on the Grenadian Premier League footballers?
That's completely escaped me now. I can't. No, not even a breeze.
Something, so I think somebody tried to text me during the ad break there, and I've tried not to look down at my phone.
No cheating.
Should we know them? Like, is
Ben has said through the glass, which I trust is off the top of his head, Shandon Baptiste, which is true, played for Brentford between 2021 and 2024.
No.
Delroy Facey for Bolton Wanderers.
No.
And then the most famous Grenadian to have played Premier League football, I'd argue, Jason Roberts, who of course played for West Bromwich Albion, Portsmouth, Wigan, Blackburn. And Reading, he played for Grenada. How many times? It was 15 appearances over a 10-year period. So yeah, Daniel, where do you want to take us next?
Well, we'll go to Drogheda United, where their owners have acted on recent controversy at the club. The Trevela Group have formally written, to co-chair Joanna Byrne, instructing her to resign as both director and co-chair. The move follows a breakdown in trust linked to comments Byrne made about private discussions with club ownership recently. Byrne, who's a Sinn Féin TD as well, had previously said that she would not step down after claims her position was deemed untenable. Trevela insists that the decision is not related to her political views, but have raised concerns about combining political roles with club governance. Now, the ownership group says it does have the authority to enforce her to resign under her service agreement. In a statement, meanwhile, Joanna Byrne says that today's developments were deeply upsetting but not surprising. On a personal level, she said, I'm heartbroken. I've always put Drogheda United first, and over the last month have continued to try and uphold the same. Now, this brings along an interesting point, because when all of this was breaking out at first between herself and the American owners of the club, the club sponsors, Sullivan and Lamb, of course, Sullivan and Lamb Park is where they play, that's the name of the ground, released their own statement saying that they would consider their futures as the sponsors of the ground if a decision to, I suppose, force her out, which this pretty much looks like, was made. So it'll be interesting to see what their stance on the situation will be now, because they are, of course, major Drogheda United fans along with Joanna. The lid not put on this just yet.
No, absolutely not. Interesting statement as well, as you've mentioned there, Daniel. The internal review at Trivella regarding, you know, somebody being, you know, on the board of the club while also having political obligations is something worth examining. I know Joanna Byrne's only been a TD since 2024, but she was very much active in political life prior to 2024 as well. It's not new that she is politically active now. I know this comes as a result of a review that they've done, and that review is probably prompted as a result of her speaking out of turn when it comes to private matters being aired in public. So fascinating to see what happens here, because they've instructed her to resign.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't forced her to resign. So this, like, is she gone? Like, or is she digging her heels in?
The end of her statement actually says she will take some time to review her options.
Okay.
So you'd think that there's another turn in that still to come. But, like, I mean, this doesn't bode well. Like, she's well regarded within the Drogheda United support. And, you know, the Trivella group have already upset the home support regarding how they dealt with the situation with their European participation last year. It's taken some time to get the fans back on board, and you wonder now, is this just another derailment of that?
Okay, you've one last football story for us.
Yeah, major blow for Kasper Schmeichel. He says he may have already played his last game of professional football. The 39-year-old former Leicester City goalkeeper will have the first of two operations on a shoulder injury on Friday, and has been told it could take up to a year to recover. He told CBS Sports last night that it was devastating.
I was at a specialist yesterday. That basically, I'm going to need two surgeries now to fix my shoulder, which is it's a bit of a body blow. It's basically, I've torn the bicep, torn the rotator cuff, dislocated the shoulder, torn the labrum. Everything's kind of gone. And, you know, to maybe put it into terms that you can understand, is like an outfielder doing their ACL and their Achilles at the same time. So it's looking like 10 to 12 months of rehab. It's been a strange few days. It's one of those. I was told yesterday, and yeah, I don't really know. I don't really know anything right now, in the sense of you don't really know how to react to this, because, you know, I could have potentially played my last ever football game, and I've been a footballer since the day I was born, mm-hmm. And that kind of thought is devastating. It's very, very hard to wrap my head around at the moment.
He tried to put a brave face on it last night, but you could tell that he was utterly devastated.
Yeah, as you would be. Mm. I mean, this is news that you could be potentially framing in a Republic of Ireland standpoint, or in a Republic of Ireland point of view, in a couple of weeks' time as well. Obviously, they have to play North Macedonia. Republic of Ireland obviously have to play Czechia, but that could be a blow to Denmark's World Cup hopes as well, depending on how their two possible games go. It is 7-2 to Barcelona. Rafinha has just scored for the hosts. 8-3 on aggregate. That's a paddling. There's still 18 minutes to come before additional time there. Joan Laporta looking like a Cheshire cat there.
You don't see many 7-2s, do you?
No.
Not since United and was it Roma back
then? Roma,
in
early
2000s.
Usually not at this level as well. And again, as you've been saying, it was a cracking first half. So they've won this second half 4-0 so far.
Mm.
On to the rugby then, Daniel.
Yes, the IRFU say that they will make a formal complaint to Gardaí following racist abuse directed at Edwin Adogbo. 5 case files have been identified by the data analytics firm Signify, with 3 of the accounts believed to be based here in Ireland. The Munster forward, who made his Six Nations debut against Italy last month, was targeted with online racist comments after the game. Now, the IRFU say that there is no place, obviously, for such behaviour in rugby, and have warned that any links to club members will be dealt with firmly. They've also stressed their commitment to working with authorities and technology partners to tackle online abuse.
Yeah, interesting to see that wrinkle in what they're saying today about there being a lot of domestic abuse in the context of the online abuse. And we did a piece on this a couple of weeks ago with John Sabire of Signify and Kieran O'Connor, who's done a lot of brilliant work in terms of identifying online conspiracy theories and how that might have factored into the Edmund Ogbo situation in terms of the horrific abuse that was out in the online world over the course of that weekend. We had sort of speculated in that piece that there might be a lot of bad actors from different countries outside of Ireland involved in this. So really interesting to see that a lot of it has actually come from within Ireland.
Yeah, and so some potential links to rugby clubs as well, which would be even more shocking. Like, I mean, usually, you know, they'd be, you know, these trolls online, but the fact that there is a potential that it has come from within the rugby fraternity is quite worrying as well. Ireland have named a 36-player squad, meanwhile, for the women's Six Nations, with head coach Scott Bemmond blending experience with emerging talent. There are 9 uncapped players included, with forwards Jemima Adams-Verling, Sophie Barrett, Beth Buttimer, Eilish Cahill and Avian McGrath, joined by backs Alana McInerney, Katrina Finn, Niamh Gallagher and Robin O'Connor. They link up with a strong core of established internationals, including Dorothy Wall returning from injury, along with Aoife Wafer and Niamh Jones. Aaron King captains the side, returning to lead the team after missing last year's World Cup through injury. There has been notable turnover as well, with several experienced players unavailable, signalling a shift towards building depth for the future. Ireland opened their campaign away to England on April 11th before hosting Italy the following week, and the championship concluding with a landmark standalone test against Scotland at the Aviva Stadium in May. Now, speaking to Off the Ball earlier today, Scott Bemmond, who has extended his contract as well with the IRFU today, has challenged his new players to take their opportunity.
There's a natural point, isn't there, after a World Cup where you look to refresh the group. We've got so much talent, so much potential coming through the Irish system, whether it be the WNTS, the Pathway, the Celtic Challenge, and the girls that are named are fully deserving of their opportunity. Of those 9, 6 have already been in camp with us, and some on multiple occasions. So actually they don't come in as new, they come in as uncapped, but have been a part of our group for a good while. 3 of them are new in, but they fully earned their opportunity through the Celtic Challenge. And, you know, really exciting really to see what they can do when they're in camp with us. Really excited to see how they push the people that you would say could potentially be not ahead of them, but like already in experience and already had opportunities to show what they can do. And we think they're going to come in, and we think that we're going to see an elevated layer of competition, which hopefully drives performance.
One of the 7-2s that we neglected to mention earlier on was that night Bayern Munich humiliated Tottenham Hotspur. Remember, Serge Gnabry scored 4 goals. Was it one of Mauricio Pochettino's last games, or was it potentially after Pochettino had been sacked? But in the autumn of 2019, 6 months or thereabouts after Tottenham had made it to the Champions League final, they took a 7-2 beating at the hands of Bayern Munich. So 76 minutes on the clock, still 7-2 to Barcelona, 8-3 on aggregate. What's next?
Argentina will bid to stage the 2035 Rugby World Cup as part of a wider South American tournament that will also include Brazil, Chile and Uruguay. World Rugby Union Chief Executive Alan Gilpin is visiting the home of the Pumas to assess their feasibility as hosts for the event. Formal applications for hosting rights will be submitted this autumn, with the preferred host identified in May of next year.
Now then, we have some further news from Cheltenham last week.
Yeah, so the jockey Nico de Bonneville has been cleared of making racist comments towards the Irish amateur rider Declan Quayle at the Cheltenham Festival. An investigation found no evidence to support the allegation following an incident before the Turners Novices Hurdle. Stewards confirmed today that strong language was used in a heated exchange, but nothing of a racist nature was proven.
Right then, we have firmly buried the lead. Daniel, give us the biggest story in sport.
Yes, indeed. Rory making a Masters meal of it. He defends his Masters title next month, but the menu for his club dinner was released earlier on. A master not only in golf, but in food choice as well. A very fancy looking selection that McIlroy has gone for. There's 4 starters to pick from. A peach and ricotta flatbread, followed by a rock shrimp tempura with a creamy spicy sauce. An unusual selection, bacon wrapped dates, which sounds completely rotten to me. And
stuffed with goat's cheese, crucially.
Oof. Oh, with goat's cheese. Yeah. Well, dates though. And grilled elk sliders. Never heard of that one before either. There is a first course to come after that. if you're still starving. A yellowfin tuna capriccio served on a toasted baguette, which sounds gorgeous. The main course is a fancy version of an Irish beef or salmon wedding option with a Wagyu filet mignon or seared salmon, served with traditional Irish champ, sautéed Brussels sprouts, glazed carrots and onion rings. Then, very finally, Rory, a man after my own heart to finish, he's got a sticky toffee pudding.
You know that moment when Rory and Larry bought one together at New Orleans, mm-hmm. and Larry tried to put the tricolour over Rory's shoulders and he just wouldn't have it?
Yeah.
Well, this is bigger than that moment. He's serving up Irish mash. This is like painting. This is like wearing a kneecap balaclava.
Yeah,
to be fair.
Yeah.
He's gone full Ireland.
The slightest
Ireland
of nods to Ireland.
it's a beautiful menu. I think Larry's been involved in the selection for the wine as well. Also, this is going to probably expose me as being like beyond terminally online, but when you work these hours and you go home at 10 o'clock, sometimes you end up scrolling endlessly on Instagram. And I can conclude that a sticky toffee pudding is having a moment. I was scrolling through Instagram the last day, whatever time, like 11:30. I should be in bed, and I realised I had spent 40 minutes watching the content of one individual account, which was a man in London reviewing sticky toffee pudding. I think he's got like 58,000 followers, and it's called STP Review, Sticky Toffee Pudding, and he goes around reviewing these all around London, and he is my favourite character on the internet. And I think
definitely
this is actually
a sticky toffee pudding.
This is a nod from McElroy to him, and to the fact that this dessert is having its time in the sun. So fair play to Rory. Looks good.
Who would you seek out for advice if you're trying to put that menu together?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know where I'd look for. So who's coming to my
mind? Obviously, you're in that position. Granted, you have a lot more access to probably more interesting people who could help. But it's just, there was something about his mum, something referenced.
The dates, I think the stuffed dates with goat cheese, I think is an odd.
Wrapped in bacon.
Wrapped in bacon.
It's good for digestion as well, isn't it?
I think there's a good performance enhancement off them. And also, he didn't want to impose too much on people's meat preferences. That's why the elk has gone in slider form in the appetizers. And he's mentioned that he eats a load of elk, that he gets shipments of it, which wouldn't be uncommon for golfers. Because I remember listening to an interview with Brooks Koepka a few years ago where he says he's got like this subscription almost to like a shipment of good Kobe beef. That gets into his Florida home, you know, once every 3 months, and he just freezes it and just gets through a whole pile of beef. So he's obviously subscribed to elk once every 3 or 4 months. But
you don't see them wandering around the Phoenix Park.
No, you don't. And I suppose he lives nowhere near there anyway. So 82 minutes on the clock. It's Barcelona 7, Newcastle 2, 8-3 on aggregate. Daniel, thank you very much for tonight's news round. Arthur, we'll be chatting to you a little bit later on tonight's show. We'll take a quick break. Brian O'Driscoll is up next.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets.
Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.